The second skit involved my so-called latest romance novel, Erotic Moonlight Confessions. The protagonist, Ronald Strump, lives in a famous skyscraper in the penthouse apartment with citywide views. Convinced it will be a bestseller, I happen to be the narrator. As it turned out, this favored sketch of mine, short and easy, would also be cut after dress rehearsal. We took a short break, so I returned to my dressing room, passing the pretzel and potato chip bins, and made a few phone calls and checked in with the office. The very talented Jim Dowd of NBC showed up to give me a tour of the control room. I got to know Jim while working on The Apprentice. He doesn't stop. Saturday Night Live is a big operation, and everyone involved is a pro. Back on the set, Stone Phillips of Dateline stopped by to visit. He had been down at my Mar-a-Lago club in Florida over the past weekend doing a story. Then Lorne Michaels came in to say hello. The set was buzzing with activity, and through the windows above the audience bleachers, we could see the NBC tour participants watching us. They waved and gave me the "you're fired" gesture. Just what I needed, some votes of confidence. Fortunately, they hadn't seen enough yet to pass judgment, so I waved back. Then I had some rehearsals, one with Finesse Mitchell, for a lawyer-client skit that included the Harlem Globetrotters, and another with Daryl Hammond, the brilliant impersonator who can nail just about everyone from Bill Clinton to Regis Philbin to me. The skit was titled The Prince and the Pauper, and it required a costume change mid-scene that the writers were still trying to nail down. By then it was 6 p.m. and we were on a dinner break. Jeff Richmond came in with a keyboard to go over some lyrics with me for the boardroom band scene, and it only took about 5 minutes. Andrew, an accommodating page at SNL, brought in a steak for me from the Palm. It arrived with plastic utensils. I made a stab at it, but Andrew ran up to Lorne Michaels' office to find some silver for me. I found some golf to watch on TV and relaxed for a while. A bit later, I signed a dollar bill for the Friday raffle, an SNL tradition. This raffle is a big event announced by drumrolls on the set, and the crew tried to pull one over on me by announcing my name as a winner. However, I already knew the buzz around there. It turned out that Lonnie in Wardrobe was the winner. So I was back to the set for the boardroom band scene, the most complicated scene for me, as I had to play the keyboard, sing, and remember some complex lines and lyrics. Where was Billy Joel when I needed him? We did the Chicken Wings number involving Trump's House of Wings, which seemed to be popular right from the start. I kept thinking, how do I get myself into these things? I had nixed the chicken outfit, but I did see a strange-looking yellow suit around the set, which had me worried. We took a break, and Lorne visited me for a while. Carolyn Kepcher arrived to run through her scene. She was relieved to know her lines were limited. Scripts aren't her thing, either. I went back out to practice the opening monologue. The monologue had to be the most difficult part of the show. I would come out on stage, address millions of people, and hope to be funny. I asked the set builders, how did I ever get into this? I should be building like you. I can relate to you guys. We practiced the monologue a couple of times with Daryl as my understudy and with Jimmy Fallon playing Jeff Zucker. We got some good laughs, and then we called it a night. It was already 11 p.m. by then.